Well, we will get started because we're 10 minutes into the coffee break already. We've got three sessions together, and we're going to be trying to just do a kickstart in the gifts of the Spirit. So what we're going to do is to give you four keys, literally, of keys to moving in the Holy Spirit. So you go away with something, even if it's a key. Someone said, and I thought it was, the gifts of the Spirit are tools, not toys. So not something, we don't just play around with them to brighten up the meetings or anything else, but they're tools that God gives us by His Spirit in order to do the job that He's given us to do. So we're not just moving on in our own strength. So let's read 1 Corinthians 12 to start with. Paul says, now about spiritual gifts of brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow you were influenced or led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, same Spirit. Different kinds of service, same Lord. Different kinds of working, the same God works all of them in all men and women. I love that little verse, you know, different, variety. Let's look in the room here, let's talk about variety. You know, God loves a variety and different ways of doing things. So I think when we come to things like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're not trying to box things in and say, you know, it just comes in vanilla. Vanilla prophecy. We want some, you know, raspberry ripple and anyway, who let him in? Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So that's why these gifts are there. They're to do people good. That's God's heart. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom or the word of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge or the word of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. So a whole range of different things. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So to each one, not to specialists, but to anybody. Bill Johnson, and we've been singing Bethel. Quite a few Bethel songs I noticed today. The list
he's
in the
new hair,
yeah? He is, yeah. His shirts are something else too. The list in the New Testament are there to reveal God, not to contain Him. So we've got 9 gifts of the Spirit listed there, but I think these are the sort of things gifts of the Spirit are. So they're not boxing things in. God's too big for that. So we've got 4 keys. The first one we're going to be looking at is desire. Do you want to give everybody a... I need to unscrew this first. So our first key is a desire. If you don't want it, you don't get it. That's really what it comes down to. That's the message version, I think. So, 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And 1 Corinthians 14:verse 39 says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. I think God's trying to say something. If it's there once, it must be important. If it's there twice, it's sort of pinned back your ears. If it's there 3 times, He's hollering. Earnestly desire, really want. So could you give them a key? Yeah, put on the key ring there. So that first one is desire. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter's quoting the prophet Joel, and we can probably, many of us, say this one off by heart. This is desire. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, and then it goes on, and especially that you may prophesy. But Acts 2, Peter quotes Joel saying, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. Move in the spiritual gifts. So God says he's going to pour out his spirit on everyone. All those that own the name of Jesus. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So this isn't a gender specific thing. This is for everyone. Male and female. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I haven't started dreaming yet, which I'm quite glad about. So it's not an age thing. It's for everyone. In fact, I remember in our Christian school in Whitney, we had the school inspectors in. And one of the teachers said, and I think his class was probably about 7 or 8 year olds, said, well look, let's pray for the inspector before she goes. So we've got the chief inspector there. So this kid comes up to the inspector, and there's a chair there, and he says, sit down in that chair. God says to you, take the chair. And she said after, she said, well, I've been asked to chair this group of inspectors. See, but I didn't want to do it. I was afraid. God has spoken through this little kid who says, sit down, take the chair. Anybody. On servants, men and women alike, I will pour out my spirit. So it's not a status thing. It doesn't matter where we come from, what our job is, what our position is, what our family is, it's for everybody. And I think if anything actually says how inclusive this is of what God wants to do by his spirit, these verses have got it there. Gender, age, status, none of it's an issue. It all comes down to earnestly desire. Do we really want to do it? Anyone, regardless of age, the real key is desire. So God's looking for volunteers. God's going to have to use someone here. Might as well be me. And our supreme example, of course, is Jesus, a man filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's have a quick brainstorm. Here are these gifts as they're listed in 1 Corinthians, 9 of them. Can you think of an example where he moved in prophecy? Yeah, so he's speaking over Jerusalem there, you know, if he didn't praise me, the stones would cry out and so on. Yeah, I think is one where he cries over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, you stone the prophets. I long to gather you like a hen gathers the chicks under her wings. Okay, what about a word of wisdom? Jack and Cameron. Where did Jesus move in a word of wisdom? There's several examples, but can you think of that?
The rich and ruler?
Yeah, could be the rich and ruler. Yeah, that's a good one.
Come to me, come to God's child before the rich
and ruler. Yeah. Yeah, so Logan, what the one that I often think of is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Show me a coin. Jeez. Whose inscription is this? Caesar. It obviously belongs to him. Better give it to him. Don't forget to give to God what belongs to God. Word of knowledge. Woman at the well. That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. Go get your husband. I've got one nearly dead right. You have 6, and the one you're with is
5,
and the one you're with isn't your husband. Yeah. Or the one I got here was Nathaniel. You know, here's an Israelite in whom there is no falsehood, no guile. No, it's just other examples. Just what occurs to me. There's so many. But then the thunder says,
Do you know me? He said, I saw you under the fig tree.
What about faith? So this is faith beyond our everyday faith. Faith for extraordinary.
Loaves and the fishes.
Loaves and the fishes have been good, one. They're feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, water into wine. Goes on and on and on, walking on water. Healings, well, there's so many of those in there. So many of the Gospels. Miracles, what about, well, we've done that. Feeding the 5,000. See, here, it just says, how the idea of trying to get the gifts actually really distinct is difficult, because how do you do a miracle without faith? And very often, you know, the healing miracles were linked with the word knowledge, or a prophetic word, or a whole, there's a lot of overlap together, a lot of intertwining. Discernment. What's of God, what's not of God? What's evil, what's good?
When he flipped over the gambling tables
in the temple. Yeah, that's a good one, Cameron, yeah. Yeah. See where you're up. Says that you're a den of, make this a den of robbers or thieves. I think Peter's review, you know, Peter, this is one that came to mind for me. Peter, she said, I'm going up to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me and all this shit. Never, Lord! And Jesus, get behind me, Satan. You're not speaking, that's a nice one, isn't it? You're not speaking the things of God, but of men. And previously, of course, Peter had said, you know, who do men say that I am? But you're the Christ. You didn't get that yourself, Peter. The Holy Spirit told you that. You're not bright enough. Tongues, Jesus, obviously, we don't get a record of Jesus speaking in tongues, but he said these signs will follow those who believe. They shall speak in tongues and cast out demons and so on. And so, interpretation goes along with that. But so we can, as you read through the Gospels, obviously it's example after example of example. Jesus, a man filled with the Spirit, moving in the gifts of the Spirit, the tools of our trade, in order to see the kingdom of God brought into people's lives. Okay, so the God's purpose for these gifts, they're for the common good, we saw that at 1 Corinthians 12. They're to strengthen, encourage and comfort. That's at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 14. So that's what God's intention with this is. It's to do people good, to build them up, to encourage them on the way, to bring some consolation, some comfort where it's needed. They're to edify, to build up the church, to strengthen the church to be what God wants it to be. And they're there to, again in 1 Corinthians 14, they're there to instruct, they're to teach us the ways of God more clearly. Now I think, yeah, we're whipping through this fairly quickly, but I just want to give us a, for some of us it's a reminder, for some of us maybe it's looking at it the first time, but just to a quick snapshot of what these things are for, because we want you to get into something in a moment. So, this is a ham sandwich, so we know it's a Christian one. But on 1 Corinthians 12 we've got, it's about the gifts and the believer. God gives these gifts just as he wills. 1 Corinthians 14 is how these gifts operate in the church. When we gather together, how do we use these things? So Paul gives some direction there. And right in the middle, between chapter 12 and chapter 13, we have, chapter 12 and chapter 14, we have chapter 13. And it's talking about love. Now we take that passage out of context and put it into a wedding. But actually the context of it is gifts working in the believers, gifts working in the church, and in between is the meat of the whole thing, which is it operates by love. The best way these things work is when we move by love. So, for instance, you might come in and think, this isn't a word of knowledge. I bet it's looking a bit down this way. She's not. This is just an example. It's a word of knowledge. So he's looking a bit down. Lord, as you pull herself together, call herself a Christian. She's been walking with God a long time. She'll be in a better place now. Or I say, I bet it's looking a bit down. Lord, have you got a gift I could give to my sister that will meet her at a point of need? Maybe she's feeling down because she's not feeling too good physically, so she needs a gift of healing. Maybe she's heard some bad news. She needs a prophetic word of encouragement. Maybe she's tussling over a problem and doesn't know what to do with it. She needs a word of wisdom. You see what I mean? And then if we look around, whether it's for individuals or whether it's for the church as a whole, and say, Lord, out of my love for this group of people, out of my love for that particular person, have you got something you could give me I can pass on to them that will do them good? Will encourage, comfort, strengthen, heal, give perspective, whatever it might be. And that's the heart of this thing, right in the middle, is love. And Paul says, yeah, we all prophesy in part. We don't get it 100% right. But the more we move in these things, the more accurate we'll become in the use of them. But I'd rather have 80% prophecy than no prophecy at all. So, okay, maybe we'll skip over that. So desire was the first one. That's our first key. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Yeah, you got your key there. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, yeah,
you got the key. All right. Now the second key is dare. Because, you want to give a dare key, huh?
Dare.
If you dare.
So 1 Corinthians 12 says we use the gifts in proportion to our faith. It was John Wimber, some of you will have heard of John Wimber, encouraged the church movement a lot in signs and wonders. He says faith is a four-letter word. F-A-I-T-H, a four-letter word spelled R-I-S-K. If we're going to move in faith, it's a risk factor. Was it John Ortberg who wrote a book, if you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat?
Yeah.
I never read the book, but I just read the title. So we have to, there's a risk factor here. We've got to push out. We've got to be prepared to make a mistake. But it won't be the first mistake we've ever made. So basically the encouragement we get in these scriptures, say 1 Corinthians Peter 4 and Romans 12, is basically just be yourself in God. We don't have to pretend to be anything or do anything. We don't have to copy someone else. All we have to be is who God's made us to be and move with the measure of faith and grace that he's given us. I'm going to skip over this a bit quickly because we're just getting on there. So my little maxim is, if in doubt, give it out. Because you feel you've got something. I wonder whether it's gone or whether it's not. Maybe it's because I had cheese last night before I went to bed. All that sort of stuff goes through our mind. Now, I don't normally get those thoughts except when God's stirring something. And we have an enemy who doesn't want us to move. So, and very often what I've found is, you get something, I don't know whether it's right or not. You think, oh, blow it. If in doubt, give it out and let the body of Christ as a whole decide whether it's right or not. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. So what? I've tried. And we take a risk. But I said I'd never dream dreams. I remember many years ago, actually, I did have a dream. And I had a dream. We had this minibus in one of our congregations transporting the kids to school. And I just dreamt this minibus was going down the road, went up the bank, and turned over. I thought, what a silly dream. What do I do with that? I don't have dreams that mean anything. And we're in a group of the area leaders together, and I said, look, guys, I said, I don't know, I might be completely off the wall here, but this dream is what I had last night. I can't get it out of my mind. If in doubt, I'll give it out. This is what I saw. I said, I just wonder whether that minibus has got something wrong with the brakes and needs checking. They said, well, we don't ignore that, do we? If they're fine, they're fine. If they're not, went in to the garage, checked over, sure enough, there's something wrong with the brakes. Praise God, I said something. If in doubt, give it out. So how do we, what's a good way of starting with trying to move in prophecy, for instance? And we go to, in Amos, at the end of Amos, there's several prophetic occurrences that Amos has. So, just picking up some of these. In Amos chapter 7, he said, I saw a swarm of locusts. Now, we don't know whether that was in his mind, whether it was a dream, or whether it was an actual swarm of locusts. We saw this swarm of locusts, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, Amos, what do you see? Lord, I see a swarm of locusts. And then the word of the Lord came to me. And God talks about to him about invaders coming into the land of Israel and bringing punishment like a swarm of locusts, or maybe it was a real swarm of locusts. But it began with a picture, began with an image. Amos, what do you see? I see fire. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and bringing judgment by fire. Amos, what do you see? I see a wall, and you're standing there with a plumb line, Lord. Ah, right, good, you're looking at the plumb line. I'm holding a plumb line against my people, they're out of kilter. I want to pull them back in so they're true to plumb.
What's a plumb line?
You know what a plumb line is, don't you? Plumb line's a bit of string with a heavy weight on the end, and then because of gravity, when you hold it up, it always hangs vertically. You can't have a plumb line with...
It's called a pendulum, if you have that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Plumb line, simplest measuring instrument going, but the most accurate for you. So that's what he thought. Amos, what do you see? I see a basket of fruit. Is it a real basket of fruit? Was it in his mind? Doesn't matter, but somehow God caught his attention. And then the word of the Lord came to him. So I'm going to give Reuben this half-eaten apple. I don't know whose half-eaten apple it is. And he's going to... See what God says to you about that half-eaten apple. But so if we want to move in the gifts of the Spirit, we've got to have a desire to do it. And I think even if we've moved in the gifts over the years, we seem to just become a bit passive and lazy about it. Yeah. And we just need to keep just stirring up the Spirit and say, Lord, I want to do people good. Yeah. I want to be your mouthpiece. I want to be your... the one who ministers through whom you can minister. So the first one, desire, earnestly desire, 1 Corinthians 14:1, in accordance with the measure of faith, dare. If in doubt, give it out. So Ruby, what have you got?
I don't know how to say it right. Okay, just give me a minute. Like that, on the outside it's a bit monkey, but God like can help that, and if you take away that layer of monkeyness, then it's all just the internal. So God makes us.
God can make us
better.
Right. Okay, good.
Very good.
Yeah. Very good, Nick. Yeah, we put right on the spot there. So we'll put Vel on the spot with the...
Wait, see what God says to you through that, Vel. Yeah, that is your tone. That is interesting, your tone.
I'm doing this fairly randomly, but what I've often found is it's not quite as random as you might think.
You got the best
there, actually. I know. That's what it's going for. Thank you.
Oh,
brilliant. right, what else? Do we need something else.
We want it back, I bet, okay?
Okay. Everybody got a little object there. So... God says to Amos, Amos, what do you see? Vel, what do you see? So I'm going to give you a few minutes. I'm just, you know, trying to kick things off. What do you see? And then the word of the Lord came to me. So So there's no pressure here. If you really have not got anything at all, please say so. That's no problem. But God wants to speak to us. This is a good way of just kicking things off. I remember doing one of these once, and it was when King's Bible College was actually up at Winchester House in Scotland. And I happened to have, and we were down in the sanctum, I happened to have a postcard in my bag of Winchester House. And I just randomly went around giving these cards, and I handed these objects to people, handed the card to this particular young lady, and she went, So when I came to share it, she said, I've been wondering whether I should go to Bible school. And then she got a picture of the Bible school sat in her hand. Was that random or was it God? Yeah? God moves in some amazing ways. So Father, we thank you for this wonderful example of Jesus, of these gifts just all over the place, because you're a giving God. You love to give. And we're here to learn, Lord, and we're here to grow. And Father, we pray you, Spirit would come now and speak to us and through us as we've got these objects here. He said, what do you see? I see this thing. And then the word of the Lord came to me. Lord, would you just let your word come to us that we might hear from you and encourage and build one another up to the praise of your glory. Amen.
Can I just qualify that as you begin to do this, and as you've asked God to help us, that, you know, I look down at, I've got a pen by the side, and I thought, what do I see, a pen? But actually, God drew my attention not to the pen, to the fact that it was from the Ambassador Hotel, and as though we're all ambassadors of the living God. And so don't, you know, what I'm saying, open your mind. You don't just, you open your mind and say, God, what of this? What do I see? I see a pen. But actually, it was nothing to do with the pen. It was actually what was on the pen that sort of my mind came to. Let's just spend a few minutes just saying this out.
See, we're not trying to make something up. Just like what God drops into our minds. It might be just one particular aspect of what we've got in our hands rather than the whole object. But that's whatever it is. You've got something to share with that?
Or do you just
want to put it back on the windowsill?
The first thing is on here, and you probably can't see it because there's lots of little yellow leaves, you know, where they're all designed back a little bit, and that's kind of pulled away. And that was the first thing that kind of jumped out at me. And actually, we need to kind of prune away some of those things to promote regrowth.
That's it.
I want to promote regrowth in it. The other thing is, this is potted, and we're not. These roots are restrained, and we're not. That's the other thing as well. So, to promote regrowth, we need to prune away those kind of things. And also, we're not restrained by a pot. Thanks to God.
Okay.
I want to get rid of it now.
Okay, great. So, two things there.
Not to be afraid of the pruning that takes off the dead stuff to promote more growth. God's plants it in a spacious place, if you like.
To spread
our roots and be more fruitful. Yeah, good.
Yeah, when I looked at this, it just looked very plain. And a bit boring, really. But actually, what caught my eye was, if I opened it, it suddenly came alive, and the numbers were really bright. And I just felt, you know, what God was saying, that if we're willing to open up to Him, you know, then His Spirit in us becomes very bright. And then this little camera at the back is that, you know, God sees us, and He remembers us.
Very good, yeah. It's great, isn't it? Very, very plain on the outside. But God opens us up. Bright. So we share on the camera in the back, yeah. Great, thank you. Okay. Yeah. Okay, come on then, Ash.
I've got a little disposable spoon thing. And if you look really closely at it, there's a little bit of dirt on it. Like, we all know when we were really little, parents used to spoon out a little bit of pudding or something and taste it to make sure it was the right temperature for us and then give it to us. And I know that some of my friends, when their parents used to do that, they'd go, I don't want that spoon, your lips have been on that, that's disgusting. Let's go and get a new spoon. God doesn't want us to be like that. He doesn't want us to be the fussy kid, no, Dad, I'm not eating that now. I'm not eating that. He wants us to take it willingly out of his hand and eat what he's set for us. He tries that because he came down from heaven to give us, to have a taste of our lives and to make sure that everything's going to be okay. It's what he wants to know what our lives are like. He wants to live as one of us, just mingled in us all the time. And he wants us to take the spoon out of his hand and eat the life he's set for us.
Very good. Yeah, that's very encouraging. Yeah, good. Okay, come on, Cameron.
Well, everyone else has got all these different items, and I've got the bag that they came out of. And I was just thinking, if you had to carry all these items without the bag, it'd be really awkward, and you'd have your hands full, and you'd have to take them around everywhere. But once you put them in the backpack, you can put it on your back, and then your hands are free, and you can carry the items a lot more easily. So I'm thinking, the items are sort of like problems, or like setbacks that you might have in your life. And God is like the backpack, so if you put your problems in the backpack, then your hands are free to do more important things than carry around all your problems. So I think it's giving me the message of sort of offloading your problems so that you're more free to concentrate on important things.
Good. Very good. This is rich already, isn't it?
I ironically got milk and I know I'm a one dairy.
Oh, good.
And also, I then noticed, but just at the end, I noticed that it's two joined together and I'm identical twins, so I'm thinking...
Oh, is it?
on the milk, each of them there's a picture of a jug and it's half full. But the make of the milk at the top says champion, so I think that, you know, you might not be feeling full to the top with God, but you're still a champion in your life.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah.
I have pens. I know that sometimes pens run out of ink a bit and they get a bit more ink back. And sometimes in life you feel like God's not with you, so you have a bit of a tough time on the make. With the pen you have a bit of a scribble trying to get the ink out and everything. And you always feel like, oh, the pen's not going to work now, I should just spin it. And a bit like that, like, oh, God's not with me, I should just abandon faith. But sometimes you just have to keep on doing it, and sometimes the ink then starts flowing again. It might be a bit jolty at first, but not very good. But it soon, you get back into it, and God's with you afterwards, and you feel refreshed, and it feels like good and new, like
refreshing
spirit.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I've got this magazine, and it's a picture of David Cameron on the front, and he's bowing to the president of China. What's his name?
Xi Jinping, isn't it?
And I just saw a picture of, you know, how easy it is for us sometimes to make things and people are idols, and so therefore we're distracted from what God wants from us and what he wants us to do. And it was just a picture, I felt, of you know, making sure that we put God first in our lives and forget worshipping other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
I've got this very almost empty tube of toothpaste, and first of all I just had the word squeezed out in my mind, and sometimes how we in our lives we can be in situations where we feel squeezed out, like there's no, you know, we can't cope with certain situations or whatever. And but then my eyes were drawn to the words on the front, which is all around protection. And I was just reminded of the words of the song that we sang this morning, and I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind, the God of angel armies is always by my side. And how we can be in situations where we feel like that, actually the Lord is with us, protecting us, and he can handle all those things, but we just need to come to him and give those things to him, and he will deal with them for us.
Yeah, great. Links in a bit with Candle's back, doesn't it? Handing things over to God. He's opened the canvas and so it's the song. Yeah, where have we got to?
Anybody else?
Yeah, I've got... I've got handed a mug of water. I think he said that he gave to me a mug of water. And so naturally went out to take it from you, and in my head there was the expectation it was a glass of, you know, a mug of water. Porcelain, I just expected to take something off because it's going to be cold. And it's not, it's hot water. And that was a bit of a shock when somebody take it, when you see something, you have an expectation based on what you can see. Yeah. There's no steam coming up, anything but there was warmth there. That, and that, more than anything visual, was the heat. It was unexpected and unpredictable that struck me, and realised, you know, that surprise was there, and it was, I suppose, it was all about God's surprise. That just reminded me of God being God's surprise, I suppose. The fact that you can't see something, you can't see God, you can't see the Holy Spirit. And then there's something there that you can feel, though. So I couldn't see the heat, but it was there, invisible the whole time.
Yeah. It surprised me. Again, I didn't think, you know, you'd share anything like that at all. I think I was going to go more... My mind was going for a cup of water, but then you see, it's interesting the way God just uses things and speaks to us by picking up things that are not immediately obvious. Yeah, that's great, thank you. You got something, Jack?
Yeah, so I've got a memory stick. It's quite a flashy memory stick. It's got two ports and it's got like three loads of things, but really that doesn't matter. Because if the memory stick's got nothing on it, it's useless. You just carry it around and it's pointless. So if we can plug in to God and get some of His love, some of His word, then we can take that and we can take it anywhere. Even if we look flashy on the outside, if we look rubbish on the outside, actually, if we just plug it in and we can deliver this His love or His word, then we can take it anywhere, because this USB stick is going to go anywhere, but we can only go anywhere when we have God's love or God's word inside us, and that gives us purpose.
Very good, excellent. You got something, John?
Yeah, I have this card type thing. It's got address and name, phone number on it, and one thing for me just really pulled out like identity and the way that God knows everything about us, and we can try and hide it from everyone, but God knows everything about us, so we can't hide from Him.
Yeah. Good, thank you. How about you, Zach? Have you got anything?
Well, I've got a torch, and it's like, when you try and say that God's something always brighter on the other side, and so it's so nice.
Okay, so God's always brighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. You see, we don't need to have great long words. It's questions of God speaking. I remember in this story. You got some
words, right?
Right. Yeah. But I remember hearing this story. This guy was in a meeting in America, where else? And he gets up to prophesy, and he says, "Thus says the Lord, yes." And the pastor said, "Well done for trying. I know that's your first year." I think, just sit down and wait on God. See if He gives you something else. So later on, he gets up and says, "Okay, yeah. Thus says the Lord, yes." And nothing else came. And I said, "Oh, well, well done for trying. You know, just keep waiting on God." So he gets up for the inevitable third time. "Thus says the Lord, yes." And the pastor said, "Well, good, you know, then perhaps we'll leave it for today," type of thing. And he thought, "Oh, I failed. That was miserable. I thought I'd got something to get up to speak in. I say one word and I just dry up completely." And after the meeting, this guy came up to him and said, "I just want to thank you so much for that prophetic word." He said, what do you mean? I just missed it completely. He said, oh no, he said, I came, he said, I've been struggling with an issue, and I said, didn't know what to do. And as I came to the meeting this evening, I said, Lord, will you please tell me, is it yes or is it no? You see, so when we're trying to move, we just want to be obedient to God, because we don't know the situation fully of the person he's got the message for. One word can just change everything. So we got, in a very short time, very...
We haven't got
Mark,
have we?
Oh, we haven't got Mark, no. Come on, sorry, Mark.
Oh, that's fine. No, I got Times newspaper, and I just felt, as soon as I looked at that, just thought, God say, know the times. And I think that was something about being aware of the world that we live in. But also maybe there's something a bit more personal about that, about knowing, being aware of your own time and what's going on in your own life, and allowing, you know, God to meet you right now. And not being constantly on for the next thing. But
yeah.
Times, be
yeah.
present now. And then this, which Ruben pointed out as well, is the obvious one, but it's just standing out so clear. It says, victory against the odds. And the trouble is, sometimes when you look at your own time, the reason you don't look is because it feels impossible, or it feels like you might, you know, you're not in a winning position. And I just felt like God wanted to say that actually, God be real, you know, God will know your times, but actually, He can bring victory into any situation, despite the odds. Victory against the odds is, that's God's normal mode.
Yeah.
Right. So, just because when you look at your own life and it feels impossible, doesn't mean that God's not able to
do it. Good. Okay, so very quickly, we've got, how many are we? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14.
Oh, Dwayne
Walker. Yeah. What did I give him? Because whatever it is,
Walker.
No, McGrath, McComb, yeah, it's alright, still there. But, so very quickly, we've got 14 messages, insights, reminders from God, just in what? About a minute of waiting on God, just saying, Lord, what do you got, want to say? Wasn't that easy? Relatively painless? So, no idols. Don't put man above God, even if he is the President of the United States. Word for our MP, the Right Honourable David Cameron. The milk. yeah, that's right, the champion milk, yeah. Thank you. The toothpaste, all-round protection. There's something else he's doing. Feeling squeezed out, but God's still providing all the protection and so on. Sorry if I'm cutting it short, if I'm just trying to do a quick sort of synopsis. Brightness. God is brighter with a torch. The spoon. Take what God gives you. Don't be fussy and picky. Receive it with thanks. The luggage label. Identity. God knows us through and through. He knows us fully. We might have it that and totally accepts us. Repent. Sometimes it's hard job to get the pen going, but with God's help, it can flow again.
Yeah.
It can be effective again. The cup, even though we can't see it, it's heat. We can feel the radiation of the heat. Even though we can't see it, God's around. His presence is always there. The plant, don't be afraid of a bit of pruning. It's for growth. Mm-hmm. And God's not potted us in and restricted us, but put us in a wide place. The tablet looks very plain on the outside. Open it up, and there's brightness, the presence of God. And what was the camera bit of him?
Yeah.
Hmm? God's seeing us, yeah. Times. Live in the times we're in. Victory in the present. I'm summing that up very quickly. The apple was the manky bits God can cut off and restore a wholeness.
A bit like a
plant, yeah. The bag, a bit like partly linked in with Amber's word there. The bag, God, for all our troubles, God can carry it around. Like the backpack, God can carry the troubles and our difficulties and so on and carry them for us. And the memory stick, it might look clever or it might look very ordinary, but it needs, if it's loaded with data, it can actually communicate something to someone else.
You can take it anywhere.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm sorry if I've sort of
truncated your words, but I was just trying to quickly summarise what...
Yeah,
but the great recall is because I can think of the image. And when I think of the image, it reminds me of the word. So this, you know, there's a lesson in that, isn't there? So I think, well, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
In a very... You got something else?
Remember, keep unlocking.
Keep unlocking, thank you. Yeah. Key one. Key two.
Yeah,
take a risk.